Now, Anonymous 4. Four women who sing without accompaniment in harmonies that are so close, it's impossible to separate the voices. And perhaps that is the point of the music and the name of the group. Anonymous Four has recorded and performed a great deal of sacred music, much of it centuries old. They've recorded medieval carols, music written in the 12th and 13th centuries in tribute to the Virgin Mary, ancient song cycles, love songs, chants, all from long, long ago, and now a new recording. It's a CD called American Angels, Songs of Hope, Redemption, and Glory. And it's very different music. That was, of course, Sweet Hour of Prayer, a gospel song. The singers are Marcia Janensky, Susan Hellauer, Jacqueline Horner, and Johanna Maria Rose. They are on a farewell concert tour, and they're all here with us in our performance studio to talk and to sing. Welcome.
Nice. Great to be here. Thanks.
Now, this music is much younger than the music that you are famous for performing. Where does it come from?
It comes from here in the United States, and it ranges in date from about the time of the American Revolution to well into the 20th century.
Is this part of your background, Marcia Janensky?
Well, I actually grew up as a Reconstructionist Jew.
I see.
The answer is...
So no.
No. However, sometimes you just get a sound in your head, and you just have to follow it. And that's what happened to me many, many years ago, before there was ever an Anonymous Four. I was singing traditional folk music, and I was sent to study with a woman who was very well known, and she lived in the Ozarks. And in fact, she took me to her church, and it was a Primitive Baptist church. And there I heard one of the songs on the CD now called Abbeville. And when I heard a teenage boy sing that song, I was moved beyond anything. And I just had to know more. And that was the long, long, long ago beginning of this CD, but I didn't know it at the time.
What about your version of Abbeville?
Come, Holy Spirit, come with energy.
You identify the music as folk hymns, as gospel songs, as camp revival songs. What's the difference?
Well, in the 18th century, the main songs that were set by the colonists and then by Americans when they became Americans were settings of psalms, as they had been restated by poets like Isaac Watts, and of folk hymns, which were devotional poems that were not psalms. They were not from the Bible, but they had the similar devotional quality to them. And so the first songs that you hear are basically stanzaic. All the text has the same meter for each stanza. There's no chorus, and it's all sung to the same tune with its harmonization over and over again. Then in the 19th century, with the rise of the Great Awakening, with the camp meeting revivals, huge numbers of people were gathered together to worship and to be converted. And a great part of this was singing, but you had thousands and thousands and thousands of people together. How to get everybody to sing together? Give it a chorus.
So so everybody could pick up on the chorus.
Exactly. So on our CD, for example, you'll hear different settings of Amazing Grace. One of them is just the text itself. That's a folk hymn. Then in another version that we sing, there's a wonderful chorus that comes after every verse. Shout, shout for glory.
What about just one chorus of the other version so we can hear what the two sound like.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. Shout, shout for glory, shout, shout aloud for glory. Brother, sister, mourner, all shout glory, hallelujah.
And that's what makes it a camp revival hymn, so everybody can sing along in the chorus, even if they don't know the text of the hymn or the psalm itself.
Now, I wanted to ask you about that. That particular song, Amazing Grace, I mean, I've heard lots and lots of versions of Amazing Grace, but I have never heard these versions of it. And one of them starts without words. Now, this is something that, as I understand it, is called shape singing.
Shape note singing.
Mm-hmm. And that's, if you happen to see the movie Cold Mountain, you saw that, you know, people sitting around, all facing each other in a church, and they were all sort of chopping the air with their hands as if they were all conducting at the same time. And they were singing together, singing in harmony together. Can we have the shape note version of Amazing Grace, and then maybe the words as well, so that you know, we can hear the difference? Watching you sing the shape notes, I realized something that I didn't get before, and that is when you're singing harmony, each one of you is singing the word for the note you're singing, so you're not all singing the same word. That's why I couldn't understand it when I heard it. So what about the rest of you? This is not your musical tradition. You hadn't studied it. Shape notes, how did shape notes work for you, Johanna Maria Rose?
Well, it was a very interesting experience. My first feeling about it as a trained musician was that the shapes got in my way. And it really took me a while. And I have to admit that I had to write in the letters over the notes.
Jacqueline Horner, this is way out of your background.
Yes, I'm originally from Ireland. Actually, one of the songs that on the CD, though I do have a personal connection to, Shall We Gather at the River, was a song that my grandmother used to sing, actually at the church, her Baptist church in Ireland. It was a big hit there, and I used to hear her sing it. So when we started researching and that one was suggested as one of the pieces we could sing, it was kind of coming full circle in a way, going back right back to my childhood. So that was really nice.
That's your solo at the beginning on the recording. Could we just hear a little bit of that?
Shall we gather at the river where bright angel feet have trod, with its crystal tide forever flowing by the throne of God?
That was incredibly beautiful. I think you're taking me back to
church services of my childhood here.
I wonder what you all think about something that occurred to me as I was listening to the music, and that is that you all sing so well that somehow some of these songs, it seems to me, might come out a bit more elegant than the tradition is or than they were intended to be. You know, they're very, very beautiful. But I wonder if you think that you're sort of you're giving it a different gloss. Jacqueline Horner?
That was something that we did talk a lot about whenever we were looking over the songs, and we don't sound like that, and obviously, and we wouldn't try, but equally we didn't want to sound like we were singing another CD of Hildegard, obviously, because that would be completely inappropriate. So we had to experiment a little bit with the four of us and our sound. And it's really allowing yourself to loosen up a little bit vocally and also just getting yourself into the spirit of the songs.
One of the things that I thought was curious about this collection of music is that some of it sounds as if it might have descended from medieval music that you've worked with before. I mean, I think songs like maybe Oh, When Shall I See Jesus or one of the psalm tunes, it has an ancient sound to it.
Yes, it does. The open harmonies, especially, that the pieces tend to begin and end with, the open fourths and fifths, are quite reminiscent. I don't know exactly why. I just know that they do.
Oh, when shall I see Jesus and reign with him above? And shall I hear the trumpet sound in that morning? And from the flowing fountain drink everlasting love? And shall I hear the trumpet sound in that morning? Shout, oh glory, for I shall mount above the skies when I hear the trumpet sound in that morning. Shout, oh glory, for I shall mount above the skies when I hear the trumpet sound in that morning.
Do you all have, or individually do you have, favorites?
Oh, yes, very surprisingly.
Susan?
We couldn't include my very favorite one, which is Life is Like a Mountain Railroad.
Could you give us a few bars there?
Life is like a mountain railroad with an engineer that's brave. It ends, keep your hand upon the throttle and your eye upon the rail. Blessed Jesus, thou wilt guide us as we reach that further shore. Forgot the next line.
That is
forevermore.
Wonderful.
Forevermore.
Is the rhyme. Something.
But the gospel songs really resonated, and for a girl from the Bronx, and the North Bronx, too. You know, who could figure?
Well, but ironically, about these Marcia? Gospel songs, unlike some of the other tunes on this record, they actually originate from not too far from where Susan grew up. Shall We Gather at the River was written in Brooklyn. And Sweet Hour of Prayer, which was heard earlier in this interview, was written by a guy from New Jersey. And these guys were not admirers of shape note singing and shape note tune books, but strangely enough, the tune book compilers loved their songs so much that they took them over and incorporated them into their tune books.
This is your farewell tour, right? Am I right?
Yes, you are right.
So are you anticipating that you just won't tour together, but you will still record together from time to time? Is that what your thinking is?
We don't know.
We want to keep our options open, obviously. We're also going to be pursuing individual interests. But, of course, it would be foolish always to close a door. So you never know.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us here.
Anonymous Four, Marcia Janensky, Susan Hellauer, Jacqueline Horner, and Johanna Maria Rose. Their newest recording is called American Angels. One of the gospel songs that is on this recording that I love it. And I think it's probably because of all of the associations that it calls up. But that is The Sweet By and By. Could we just hear a little bit of that?
There's a land that is fairer than day. blessings that have